And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. We are a free weekly punk podcast with two objectives. One, we want to scour the underground and find the best voices, activists, punks, artists, whatever. The best voices that need to be heard, and we want to talk to them about what they're doing and how they're doing it and how we can get more down like they're getting down. That's what we do on one side of every show. And on the other side of the show, we talk with those folks about staring straight at the mainstream, the ideas, the culture that we are fucking bombarded with in this society that we are forced to live in and we are forced to take part in. And we try to stare straight at those ideas and that culture and just drag them down into the underground and cut them apart, rip them into pieces, see if there's anything good in there, pick the good pieces and take them for ourselves and then shit on the rest. That's what we do. That's the point of this podcast. And I'm glad you are down with that. We are going to do that today with some dear friends from California. Was just on tour with some friends in Choking Victim. And while we were in Oakland, I had a chance to sit down with Liz and Josh from 924 Gilman Street and talk about some of the new stuff that they're doing. Liz and Josh, who I'd been trying to interview for a long time because they're doing some great stuff at 924 Gilman Street, which is, if you don't know, an incredible punk venue in this country. Probably the best punk venue in this country. They're starting this new label, 1986 Music Industries. They have some new music coming out. They have some ways for us to support them. They have an Indiegogo campaign, I think, that's crowdsourcing some funds to try and get this off the ground. Anyway, it's really exciting what they're doing. I love their idea, and I'm excited to talk to them because, frankly, I think punk is all too stagnant and too comfortable with the good old days, and people just have a good time just easing back and looking back at the good old days and resting on their laurels. And that's really easy to do at 924 Gilman because their good old days are fucking like the best of good old days. So I think it is fucking amazing to see some young punks over here in Berkeley, over here in Oakland, that really get it, that punk is about moving forward, that it's about the future, it's not about the past, that nostalgia is great when we're fucking on our deathbed, but no one's sitting there now, so let's fucking get this going. I'm really excited to talk to them about it, and I think you're all going to fucking really, really dig what they're doing. That's what we're going to be doing today on the show, talking to Liz and Josh from 924 Gilman and 1986 Music Industries about the projects that they're working on. But before we get to that, I want to say a couple of thank yous. Obviously, first and foremost, huge thank you to Josh and Liz for helping me make this possible. I've been in communication with Liz for months to get this interview done, and there was just some technical difficulties or some fucking scheduling problems, and I was in Oakland for like 12 hours, most of which was the Choking Victim show and working the Choking Victim show. So they went out of their way to make sure that they could fucking get this interview to happen. And they met up with me at a ridiculous hour in a ridiculous place. And I really appreciate them fucking working so hard to make this happen. So thank you very much for all of the great work you do at Gilman Street in 1986. And especially for breaking your necks to fucking get down with me out, you know, this fucking crazy shit that we were doing. We're going to get all of that in a second. But anyway, thank you very much. I want to say thank you to Choking Victim because I wouldn't have been able to do this fucking interview if it wasn't for Choking Victim letting me go along with them and work with them on this tour. I love those guys, all those guys so much. Huge thanks to Wade with the Braid, the tour manager from Heaven, who helped me fucking just schedule the time I could make to make this happen. So thank you guys. Thank you, Angela, the wonderful wife of Mr. Alec Bailey from Choking Victim Left of a Crack, for helping me get on this tour too. Much love to all of those folks. I want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com. Real Punk Radio airs Dispatchers from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Make sure you go over there. They have incredible programming. You can get down with them all the time. Dispatchers is not the only show going on over there. They got a ton of stuff. So make sure, if you dig what we do, I'm sure you're going to dig a lot of what they're doing over there. Tommy Unit plays us on his incredible channel, Real Punk Radio, every Wednesday at 11, right after his own personal show, which is phenomenal. So check out Tommy Unit's show as well. Thank you guys at Real Punk Radio. If you don't have time on Wednesday night to listen to us, you don't have to listen on Real Punk Radio. You can listen to this show on our own personal webpage, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. You can stream it right there on the page. You could subscribe there. It'll take you to iTunes, where, by the way, you can go leave comments and ratings if you dig the show. If you don't dig the show, then don't go there. I don't need that shit in my life. But if you do dig it, go to iTunes and leave a fucking comment and a rating. It helps us out. It helps people hear about this show. There's a donation section in the page where you can leave a donation if you're so inclined. By the way, holler out to Anthony, who came up to me at the merch table, a choking victim, and just fucking handed me a wad of cash and said, "Hey, I love the podcast," and fucking gave me a wad of cash. That was the absolute highlight for me of the entire tour. And the guys at Choking Victim did not believe, by the way, that that happened. They were like, "Nah, that didn't happen. There's no fucking way someone came up to you and just gave you a wad of cash because you do a fucking podcast." It did, Anthony, and thank you very much for fucking making that happen. That was really rad. But you can go leave a donation on our website if you don't see me at a show and want to just hand me a wad of cash. This show is always free. It will be free. It always has been free. It'll continue to be free. But if you're in a position to make a donation and make this podcast continue, I really appreciate it. One day it will become untenable for me to continue with this. And I'm not going to charge. I'm just going to make it. I'm just going to fucking stop doing it. So keep that day far away and help donate now. There's a merch section. If you don't just want to donate, you could fucking get some shit, buy some merch. It helps out too. And we have a bunch of shit going on over there. There's an archive page. There's a ton of stuff. Go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Get down with us over there. Stay down with us over there. Really appreciate everyone who's been buying the merch on the new merch page. Much love to everybody. I want to say thanks also to the Dispatch from the Underground Collective that helps make this show possible, especially Antonio, Lauren, Steve, and G-Fresh, who work so hard on this show. Thank you very much. I love you all very much. I want to say thanks to all the folks who continue to listen, especially Anthony, but everybody who continues to listen and fucking just gets down with this show. I really appreciate it. Makes it worth doing, and we'll continue to do it as long as y'all keep listening. So thank you all very much. All right, enough of the fucking gratitude, enough of the bullshit, enough of the plugs. We're not going to be doing that shit for the rest of the show. Want to get that off the bat. For the rest of the show, we're going to listen to some fucking tunes, some bands that 1986 music industry suggests. We're going to listen to some Gilman Street bands. We're going to talk to Liz and Josh about all the great shit that they're doing. Hopefully by the end of it, you got a shit-eating grin on your face, a little bit more perspective in your brain, and a buttload of passion back in that fucking chest cavity that's been hollowed out by capitalism all day. So let's fucking get to it and get down. All right, let's listen to some tunes before we get to the podcast. I want to start the show off with a band that opened the Choking Victim show in Oakland, and also a band that is the first release from 1986 Records. This is a band called The Love Songs. They are now out. I guess it's now out on the first vinyl release from 1986, which you can pick up pre-order by going to 1986D, that's 1986.com, and going to the Indiegogo campaign and donating, or just buying the pre-sale on their website. So here's The Love Songs on 1986 Records. Get down.
Well, the words sound empty, choked up, you just don't know. The sheer force of all I feel, but if I talk now, temperature will show. So hold up.
All right, it is bright and early. It's like fucking 4 in the morning or some shit. And we're in Oakland, I guess. I don't know. I'm in California. There's fucking like dinosaur palm trees around me and shit. It feel like I'm in the fucking time that like the fucking land time forgot or something. And we're sitting by a pool that we had to like get escorted into because I lost my fucking key to the hotel we're staying at. Like a child. Like a fucking child. We're sitting at a pool at 4 in the morning, disrupting all of the rooms around us because this is more important than these people's sleep and my sleep and the folks that I'm sitting here with sleep. I've been planning to do this interview for like 4 months and I'm totally technically unable to do that. So finally we're in Oakland and we're doing this shit. I'm sitting here. You guys introduce yourselves here. Hold on.
I am Liz.
And I'm Josh.
That was the worst introductions ever, guys. This is going to be a long podcast, because that's how we're going to go. These are two organizers at Gilman Street. I don't know if y'all know this, but Gilman Street is one of the best venues, one of the best punk venues, hands down, like no questions asked, in the United States of America. They're nodding politely, like, yeah, I guess you could, yeah, you could, I guess you could say that. It's so cool, but hands down, you know, no one, I don't think anybody could argue against that. And we're going to talk today a little bit about Gilman and some of the other projects these folks are working on. But first of all, Liz, after that terrible introduction, that was so bad. It was so awful. You don't even, Josh, you got to give her a mic, bro.
Fuck you.
What did you guys think of the show last night?
Show was fantastic of what we saw.
Did you guys see Rats play a little bit? Josh?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the Rats set.
Have you seen Rats before?
I've seen them a couple of times. But it was really cool because I've only seen them like, I don't know, like I see them like maybe once a year, like when they come through Gilman or like are open to shows or like play on a show that I'm happen to be at. And to watch the progression of that band has been really, really,
really?
Fun for me. Yeah, because I'm...
we're talking about folks who don't know. We're talking about Rats in the Wall. They're from down south in California, which is like a separate universe. Like people think California is one state, but it's not. It's a separate place.
No, they're from the yonder land.
It's like 7 hours away. It may as well be another state.
It's yeah.
We're sitting here in the morning in fucking Oakland and upstate California.
People don't say upstate. They consider it Northern California, but Bay Area.
Northern California.
Yeah, we're not Northern California like Eureka is Northern California.
The state is long and
so hard.
Yeah.
So this is how I feel when I go to New York, though. So I'm like, I go three blocks and I'm like, I'm in another neighborhood. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true. It's like the opposite. But we're talking about Rats in the Wall, which to me is one of the single best bands in the country. Like, absolutely. You guys are so lucky to have so many great bands over here. And we were at the Choking Victim show, and I guess that was probably the first time you guys have seen Choking Victim.
So,
you and everybody else in the fucking world universe?
About a year ago, the Crack Rock City 7 played Gilman, and they played one Leftover Crack song, but it was mainly a Choking Victim set.
Oh, really?
That was about a year ago in August, so that was pretty cool to see. But this was the first, like, actual, officially as Choking Victim.
Yeah, Squirt and fucking Choking Victim. Yeah, yeah. I was at a show, like, the other day with Choking Victim, and this woman came up, oh, I haven't seen these guys in 10 years. And I'm like, no, you haven't. No, you didn't. You haven't, since you were 6 years old, this band has not existed. 6 years old, lady. She's like, oh, I don't think so. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. Whatever you want.
Because you don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know, but that's fine. Okay, all right. Well, anyway, the show last night was rad. We were hanging out.
Yeah,
it was fun.
No, Rats have, I've kind of just watched them a couple of times as opposed to like watching, you know, seeing them all the time, like some of the bands that go to Gilman all the time. And it's really been cool to watch how much tighter they've gotten, and especially Ava, the vocalist, how much more, I don't know what the word is, but. Eva.
It is Eva. I say Ava too, but I'm affronted and corrected every time. Yeah.
Now I'm in trouble. But Eva, the vocalist.
No, I'll edit that out.
To watch their progression as a vocalist, because that's what I do. Is I write about politics and I'm on stage and I've. It's a really odd, like kind of vulnerable experience to do that and to talk about it and to And then try to entertain people like as a performer, and they do a great job doing that, and have gotten way better to the point where their band is like, yeah, one of my favorite bands in the country at this point.
Josh, the entire second part of this podcast, we're going to talk exactly about what you were just talking about before. So don't, you're fucking up my timeline here, bro.
Sorry.
So, no, it's all good. Well, you know what? I feel like Eva owes me a cut of the door last night that they got, because like we had like a 6 hour ride. They picked me up on the side of the road, and we had like a 6 hour, like, full frontal fiery debate in the van. Like, Brad, Eva, and me were just like foaming at the lips, like scream. I lost my voice, not from the show. I lost my voice from arguing with those guys about politics the entire ride up. So I feel like that also, I feel like they added to it, but that might be, that's unfair. I don't get to take credit for that. I did take credit for it, but I shouldn't.
So that's the secret, is argue with you in the van for 6 hours and then play a killer show?
That's the secret to a better world.
Well, you're invited to stay in California.
Okay, listen, you talked about all the bands you see at Gilman all the time. So let's go to Gilman. We talked enough shit about the fucking glorious show that we saw last night. You're talking about seeing a bunch of bands. So I'm gonna, before I get to that, what is Gilman for chumps out there who don't know? Now they know.
So Gilman is an all-ages DIY venue that is run only by volunteers, and it's been around since 1986. So this December, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary of the first Gilman show ever. And a lot
30
of,
years in punk is...
30 fucking years. And
who
like,
lives that long?
It's been sustained that long because it's been the same system. Like the membership, the voting system has remained that way since day one. And...
Sorry.
Like, there's always some cycle of drama going on, but, like, Gilman has remained, and it's all ages, so kids can come, and that's why we get called punk rock daycare, but but it makes it so, like, the scene and the local bands are more accessible, and so local bands have a place to come, and there's not a hierarchy, and there's not a... You aren't allowed to do this because you haven't put in the work or something. If you want to be involved, you can be involved.
And 30, first of all, anybody who knows that a venue in America that is, exists for 30 years is abnormal. It does not happen in this country.
Especially in punk.
Especially, Liz said, especially in punk. It just doesn't happen. I mean, 30 months is fucking a good run in New York City for a venue, especially a DIY place. 30 months, seriously, like a couple of years is good. 30 years is unfucking believable. And on top of that, to do it consciously, to struggle to do it consciously and to do it with like an ethic and a, like a moral and a principles behind it, there is nowhere that does that. And I just don't think people out there fully appreciate the pain that goes into that kind of shit. And it's pain that makes good music, so that's why the fucking music is good.
Yeah, it's been interesting. We're very lucky here that we have so much. I mean, the place has been around so long that we actually just have a ton of community support at this point. So, like, the neighborhood that the club is in used to be, like, an industrial area and was kind of out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And now there's a Whole Foods across the street, and there's, you know, this whole, it's become its own district in Berkeley and all this shit. And the community, because there's all of these people who went there as kids, you know, 20 years ago, the community has stood up for us again and again.
That's
which
crazy.
Is unheard of. The city, yeah, we, so there's, there was a brewery across the street from the club, and now there's one that's going in next door. And so there's, you know, when you get an alcohol license, you gotta, there's like, you have to have a city, you have to go to one of the city meetings and basically get approved. And we have gone there, not me specifically, but like kids from the club or like staffers have gone there and said, here are our concerns about having an alcohol place next to an all ages dry club. And the city is more favorable to us than they are to the
breweries.
That's breweries,
unfucking believable.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, which is just incredible. Yeah.
It's fucking longevity.
Sorry, we all just like faced our mic toward Liz all at once, and she just was like, "Get that shit out of my fucking face, dudes."
So one of the things we've done, because we've had this kind of long lasting, is the model has stayed the same, but we've been able to do some things that a lot of clubs aren't able to do, because they can't stick around for, you know, even a couple of years, let alone decades. And so one of the things we've done the last few years is we become a 501c3, and so we rent our building. So we have a landlord who fortunately likes us and, you know, has been renting to us for 30 years. But at some point, we
would... Wow, I'm surprised. I did not know that y'all had a landlord. Yeah. I'm very shocked to hear that, actually. I can't believe that...
His name is Jim, and he is our friend.
I mean, that's unbelievable. He must be a really good person, because no one would do that for 30 years. That's why they don't exist. I mean, there's city bullshit, and there's cop bullshit, and there's other bullshit, but... That's really cool. Jim fucking deserves a medal or some shit.
He definitely deserves a medal.
Josh, I don't really want to hear that a landlord deserves a medal, because I just want to kill all the landlords, but that's fucking bullshit, like hack-ass leftist nonsense.
I'm with you, but we're going to talk about killing somebody else because we still rent the building from him.
Cool, all right. Jim's our fortification owner. That's fine. I got it. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, so we've become a 501c3, and we have a set of fundraising goals. One of them is to buy that building at some point. He's not selling it to us at the moment, but to come up with the amount of money we would need to do that, to be able to make repairs and to be able to keep door prices at a certain level. And so we have this interesting thing where people who are going to the club, you know, in the 80s and the 90s are upset that every show isn't $5 anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But we need to pay bands. But it's true that there's a you know, pretty large group of kids who comes to the club all the time. We
call them the Gilman Rats.
And we want to be able to make sure that they can afford to go to shows and afford to see bands like Choking Victim, not just, you know, like our bands would, you know, play in a basement for free, but like the bands that are coming through and are asking for a lot of money and
need it.
Need it, yeah. And, you know, who are from other places who don't get to just show up from, you know, 20 miles down the road or whatever. And so we've been able to do that, and... We now have a nonprofit board and are able to do fundraising and collect money that way. And it's not, I'm not like advocating for that necessarily. Like it's an individual thing for each place, and it's complicated as fuck. And you got to have that kind of community support I was talking about, where you have people who are willing to do that kind of boring bullshit stuff that like has nothing to do with booking shows, really.
Board conversations, literally. Board as in like they're on the board and you are bored. Like it's both conversations.
Yes. I can attest to that. I'm on the board.
I mean, the 501c3 stuff, I know people aren't like super interested. Oh, they're punks talking about 501c3. Fuck you, we're gonna be done in like two minutes with this.
Like, the fact that we are now a 501c3 is the only reason we can sort of keep going. Like, if we didn't have the opportunity to become a 501c3, then Gilman may not exist to this day. And it didn't happen, like, right away. And because of the system of decision-making that we have in place at Gilman, like, no one person can make it. You know, we have membership meetings once or twice a month, first and third Saturday of every month, and... If you've volunteered in the last 6 months and been to a meeting, you get a vote. Whether you've like stamped hands or you're a head of a department, you get one vote, and that's it. And that's how all of our decisions are made, from like getting food for bands to changing our status to a 501c3. And like, first thing you see when you walk in the door is a big sign that says no racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, violence, alcohol, and no dogs because it hurts their ears.
Oh,
but
yeah, word.
Like, everyone who participates in membership, there's an expectation that they will uphold those rules. And there's like really not much else that you have to do per se. Like if you do that and you want to contribute, then you're there.
I think what people might be bored by this side of the conversation, but I think this is actually the crux of it to me. We want to talk about the bands. We want to talk about all the things that we derive joy from, the things that brought us to do this stuff. But what keeps communities alive isn't the fun stuff. It's the commitment. You know, it's the hard work. It's the fucking, it's like digging down deep. And like, I think one of the reasons Gilman has thrived more than any other venue in this country is because y'all have such community. It's huge. There's a lot of people. It's not like 6-7 people who are doing everything. It's huge. And you're putting, and you're building it, and you're building it, and you're building it. And I think so many punks, this is why they're punks, and they forget about this because it becomes like this like automatic thing, you know? But this is really why you became punks. No one else was doing the shit you liked. So you went out, you did it yourself, and you made your own tunes, and you found the people who were fucking speaking your emotion and shit like that. And you went out and you just made those shows happen. And everybody was like, well, then it got hard, dude. You know? Yeah, because you got to get bigger, and you got to push out, and you got to hold your ground and continue to grow. And no one wants to continue to do that stuff.
And you got to like work with other people, and people, no matter what, have an ego, have an idea of what's right. And like that clashes in a DIY scene where
shit, Liz, when
everyone's
you give,
input
you say,
is equal.
Have an ego and you stare at me like that.
Nah,
it's
you
extremely, rat. It's extremely difficult to handle. I just kidding.
But nah, it's you learn how to pick your battles, and it can definitely feel like a thankless job at points, but like it's a labor of love, because I started going to Gilman when I was 14 years old, and I was a crazy kid who didn't know what to do with myself, and those people in that place took care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. So now, like, years and years later, it's our job to pay that forward.
And it being the fact that you were going there at 14, the fact that you have an all-ages space that continues to build a scene, but this is a huge problem in New York. It's a huge problem in other places, that we've had no committed community that is driven to maintain really good shows, high-end shows, big shows that are all-ages, you know? Because it's for a million reasons. It's not like they just don't give a shit about kids. It's like, you know, there's a million things. And the fact that you guys have Jim, the landlord, to help you out is a huge fucking help on that front. But you know, you gotta, if you're not investing in the scene and the younger people to come to great shows and building that community, then you're not gonna have a scene in 10 years. Mm-hmm. If you stop doing all ages shows in your town, you're committed to two things. One, your scene will dry up in 10 years, and two, you're gonna have a fucking metal scene that you're gonna be so sick of, that's gonna have every shitty like pot smoking metal band come through. No offense to metal bands. Stoner metal and the old folks. Jesus Christ. We're gonna have fucking stoner metal wheelchairs in the future, and walkers. Stoner metal walkers. Stoner metal brand walkers. That's where we're fucking headed with this bullshit. Okay, let's enough about Gilman here for a second. Let's take a quick pause, and then we're gonna talk about the future and what y'all doing now. Okay, get down. Sitting down to do this interview with Josh and Liz, it was a little bit disturbing, because Josh and I really seem a lot alike. It was a little fucked up. I was a little nervous, actually, because I hate myself, so I assumed when I was talking to Josh that I would end up hating him. But he seems like he's like a better version of me. So I'm really excited to listen to his band, because I'm assuming it's going to sound like a better version of All Torn Up. So I'm fucking jazzed to hear what that sounds like. So let's get to it. This is Josh's band. Josh was on this interview. This is Josh's band, Public Safety, from Oakland, and I'm sure they're going to be hopefully putting out some releases on this record label, 1986, in the very near future. So let's get to it. Here is Public Safety. Get down.
Caesar, Mother Earth, thirst to her children, and to humanity, and to you ignorant, uninterested, would stray your children, but they took a touch of it, wouldn't pull a fucking tree, and send them on to Reese's Wars. Mother Earth, bleeding like Caesar, Mother Earth, thirst to her children, and to humanity, and to you ignorant, uninterested. Arrogance of all men, consciousness is the plague, is that the only antidote?
Well, if you didn't spill it all everywhere. if you didn't get so angry at me and you throw it on my face. Alright, we talked about where Gilman's been, we talked about what Gilman's doing. Let's talk about what the future is. So y'all are doing a specific project, an intense thing right now. And it has to do with the 501c3. So we didn't just like trudge through that.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
So let me.
Sorry.
Let me.
I'll
make
fucking
that
just
very
edit
clear.
That out. Don't worry. I just fucked that up.
So we the two of us and a couple of other people who are associated with Gilman started a record label. And to be extremely clear, it is not part of the 924 Gilman Collective.
Sorry about that.
We're all Gilman staffers. And the whole idea of it is to do exactly what you were saying, try to sustain that community in a way that is really difficult for young bands and for people who are just kind of in it for the music or just getting started. But to be totally transparent, we're not part of the Gilman Collective. Gilman doesn't fund this. It's a private company that we started. And the reason that that happened is so that I and Kamala, one of the other people on the record label, or who's you know, part owner of the record label, are on the nonprofit board. And so the idea originally was to do that under the nonprofit board and have the records be a benefit for Gilman. And bookkeeping, logistically, that is totally impossible. I mean, not like totally impossible, but for the
complicated.
It's complicated, and we already totally overstretch our volunteers. And so to do something that is like 100% our project and to make somebody else like basically do our bookkeeping is just not okay. And so we did something different. And so we started a private LLC that is 1986 Music Industries, 1986 apostrophe D.
Okay, I get it.
And with the records being a benefit for Gilman partially. So the Love Songs record, which is our first release, is a 10% benefit to Gilman. So 10% of the proceeds from that record are getting donated to the nonprofit. And then the compilation, which is called Arcane Drama.
Jesus.
Because collective life.
Yeah.
That record is a compilation of Gilman bands. And so that's a 50% benefit. So half of the sales for that record will go back. And then the other stuff.
And can I ask, a lot of that reason is because 50% is going to be going back to pay back the fucking money that went into the record.
Right. So yeah, we got to cover our costs. And the idea is to
it's
sustain.
It's not like someone else is getting 50% of that.
No, no. I don't know how many of your listeners have ever tried to run a record label, yeah, but we're not going to make a lot of money doing this.
Even if you were making 100% of the money back, you're still not going to make a lot of money of the fucking record.
Yeah. No, and the idea is if whatever money we do make, I mean, so there's startup costs that we haven't gotten almost any of back yet. But also, the idea is to put out records ongoing, right? Not to just put out a couple, have it be a benefit, and then leave. The idea is to try to build up this thing so that the scene can grow, so that our bands have an opportunity. We have some really, really good bands who play at Gilman like every 3 weeks.
They're just constant.
Yeah, I mean, there's young bands who are playing all the time, especially, I mean, you know, different scenes go up and down at different times. Right now, we have a ska scene that has been, you know, built.
I'm sorry about that. That's too bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. and there are some bands that you know, you can't even go to the city and have people have heard of them, to San Francisco.
Oh, really?
And they're amazing. And they're really, really good, and they're really tight, and they're... And so the next step for bands like that is to get the kind of exposure that allows them to tour, not in, you know, to not just go down to Southern California every few weeks, but to be able to actually tour and be known by people on the other side of the country and other places. And so the idea would be we give, you know, half of the money, or in the case of the Love Songs record, the band gets a certain percentage and then Gilman gets 10%. And the money we get, we want to put out more records. I mean, that's the idea of it.
That's a really great idea. The 10% idea is a really great idea because a younger band isn't going to be making money off the record anyway.
No.
Probably, and at least nothing to write home about. And so, and 10% to y'all is just sustainable, and it helps. And Gilman is known. It's not like Gilman's not a name. So y'all have had a couple of bands that have come out of Gilman. What are some of the bands that have come out in the past that people might have heard of, Liz?
Green Day, Rancid, Green, Operation Green. Ivy, NoFX, The Offspring.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple.
Every lookout band ever.
You might have heard of a couple of them. They're cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But also the idea is, like, these kids in these bands work their fucking asses off, and they're making incredible music, and they're doing it all by themselves. They, you know, they didn't have the music they wanted or whatever, so they fucking created it themselves. But then from there, like, they may not have the platform or the access to get it out or to have the resources to push it farther. So, you know, if we can, like, showcase what they're doing on a bigger audience level and on a bigger platform, then that's great for them, because like the scene that we have right now with the young people is pretty fucking amazing. And they work really hard, and they're really talented kids who have a lot to say. And if we can just like open the window for them just a little bit so they get more opportunities, more viewership, whatever, then that's really just the goal.
Was the scene last night at the Chokey Victim show similar to the scene, or is it like a totally separate shit?
Totally separate shit.
Because it was a weird, I've never really seen a scene like that too. It was already, for me, it was pretty weird. And y'all at Gilman have like another, like it was huge and there's tons of people. Y'all have another scene on top of that.
Yeah, so The scene last night was like the Oakland punk scene, which is, it can be thought of as like a bubble within the Bay Area. So there's, it's not like there's a divide, but there's a pretty clear difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different. So I agree that the scene in Oakland has this, its own kind of character to it. I mean, a lot of the kids who are there are kids who hang out at Gilman
all the time.
Okay. Like, that's the Bay Area is one of the most spoiled punk scenes in the world. I mean, there are shows, you know.
I caught that tense.
Spoiled in the positive sense. Like,
I knew what you were saying.
House shows and bar shows, and we have that venue the Choking Victim just played at, the Metro, which is huge. We have the Gilman. Like, this isn't, you know, it's not, it's so big. Venues just come and go.
Yeah, and, like, it's usually an issue of, like, there are so many shows to go to on any given night that you have to pick, like, one out of three shows you want to go see on a fucking Wednesday or something.
You can see that in people's eyes. Like, when we played, like, Mesa, Arizona, and everyone's like, Choking Victim, and their eyes are just, like, welling up. And then you're in Oakland, and you're like, yeah, cool, Choking Victim. Right on.
Oh, yeah, Oakland is famous for, there's so many bands that come through and are just like, are you guys fucking bored? Like,
Yeah, this is, I've been to New York. It's similar. We got the same problems. Same good things and bad things going on, yeah, for sure.
But one of the things, and I think this is important, is one of the things about Gilman is that it's an all-ages space, and there's a space for the kids to hang out. It's not like those kids don't go to other shows in the Bay Area, right? They were, you know, there was a good chunk of them there last night. There's, you know, you go to whatever, any show anywhere in San Francisco, in Oakland, anywhere that's not a bar, basically, and you'll see some of them. But they can all congregate in one place and hang out there. And that's, you know, that's how you build a youth scene, is by giving people a place to go, not just like, oh, we can like go to the show, but this is like actually for older people, so like once the show's over we can't really hang out here, which to be fair isn't like anybody's kicking them out, but it's a different thing when you don't have people your age and you don't have a spot that you feel like is yours.
No, totally. Let's talk about the record label. So what are some of the bands that are going to be on the record label? Like, what are some of the plans y'all have? Like, what are some of the bands, maybe ones that aren't even going to be on the record label, maybe bands people can look at and be like, here are some examples of Gilman bands. Here are some examples of folks that we're going to be looking toward, or types of music they're going to be looking toward. I mean, is it going to be music types that you guys do, or is it just going to be bands like you're gonna have a stoner metal band and then like a fucking third wave ska band, and like I'm just listing all fucked up shit, and like you know you're gonna have like a prog rock, you know, fucking indie band or something like that, like, or is it you're gonna be going for pop punk or something? Like, I mean, Gilman's known for pop punk. Is that fucked up to say? Liz is pissed that I said that, but it's known for pop punk. Green Day, No Effects, get that fuck out of here. Or, you know, so are you going to be doing all that kind of music? Should that be what people expect from the Gilman record label, or what?
So it's not genre specific as far as it goes so far. Our first release came out on Friday, and that was the Love Songs of the Places You'll Go Wrong.
Like in November it came out.
It came out 3 days ago.
Wow.
And like they're like party punk. More than anything. And then the compilation that we have coming out in about a month is 14 bands that regularly play Gilman, have been like a major part of the scene for the last 10 years, I guess. And that's because like 20 some odd years ago, there was another compilation, Turn It Around, that came out that was the current Gilman bands at that time. And we want to like, you know, there people talk about like the golden era of Gilman or whatever, and it's not the same now. It's definitely different, but we still have an influx of incredibly talented bands and people that work really fucking hard to make this scene happen. So there's like Josh's band, Public Safety. They're a political hardcore band, and they're on it. But then there's a band called La Plebe. They're a mariachi punk band. There's a folk punk band, Dandelion Massacre.
Whoa, slow down! It's so much, Liz.
There's like so much diversity on that comp, not just genre wise, but like there's a band where I think the youngest people are like 14, 15, 16.
Shoot.
And then another band, Dog Party, they're on Asian Man Records.
Oh,
and
cool.
They just got off tour with Green Day. But it's, we wanted to sort of display just how much there is going on at the scene, because it's not like we only have a hardcore scene or we only have a ska scene, and the comp kind of does convey that really well. But yeah.
So a lot of different styles of music can you put out.
It's absolutely.
Not, but there will be ska. But there will be ska.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Unfortunately for me, there will be ska because I'm just a fucking old shitty hater and I want to destroy all joy in the world, apparently. And apparently ska is where joy lives. So there will be ska, fortunately for you, because ska people buy records and
true.
And hardcore bands were like, buying shit. I just want to drown myself in fucking misery and I hate your smiles. That's fine. And there will be some pop punk.
There's a couple pop punk songs on there.
And I shouldn't be upset about that. I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking around. I'm just kidding.
There are people who aren't upset about that. Let's put it that way.
I'm just bullshitting. I like ska. There's some great music out there that's ska. That's fine. Not third wave, but there is good ska out there. So where can people fucking go to find out more information about this? What can people do to get down? And then maybe we could talk a little bit about how they can fucking do this themselves because they need to fucking make this happen.
Yeah. So for our stuff, so we have 3 releases, just to give you the little spiel.
Run down, dude. Run up,
so
please.
The Love Songs record is an LP, and it's out now. It's called Oh, the Places You'll Go Wrong. The compilation is called Arcane Drama, a compilation of 94 Gilman music.
How many bands?
14.
14.
And that one will be out at the end of the year, or actually early next year for the official release date, if you're not able to get to the Gilman and buy it for the show.
So, is it pressed or is it a CD or?
All of this is vinyl.
So we
have CDs for the Love Songs compilation, or sorry, the Love Songs album, but and then everything will be streaming. So that's part of the label as we get it distributed.
Digital download code in every vinyl that you get.
Yeah, so you get a download card or you can find it on Spotify and all the whatever is going to replace Spotify as the thing that people use. But and then we're re-releasing 7-inch by Kamala and the Carnivores, which is a Lookout Records band.
Oh, shit.
And that'll be out in early January. And so at the Gilman, there's going to be a Lookout reunion the first 2 weekends of January.
Oh, wow.
So there's how many bands?
26 or 28, one of the two. 20, I think it's, 26 bands that were on Lookout, each playing one set and one set only type thing for 4 days straight.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. So
one stage.
You were talking about grumpy old people.
They're going to be pop punk. They're going to be happy as hell. They're going to be fucking, there's going to be no misery there. Everyone's going to be some fucking shining stars. And plus it's like, you know, reliving the glory days too for those guys. So I'm sure it's going to be fucking awesome.
So that's going to be out in time for that. Because Kamala and the Carnivores are playing.
I was going to ask if Kamala and the Carnivores playing. That's wild.
So those are the 3 things we got going, you know, that we consider like for our inaugural year, even though some of them are coming out next year because this is like the first round of stuff. And so we have an Indiegogo campaign that's going to be up until early December. And we have a website and a Facebook. So Facebook, it's 1986. And the website is www.1986d.com.
In 1986, it's, explain it again. It's not spelled out. It's 1-9. Is it?
Yeah. So 86, like you're 86 from a club, and the Gilman started in 1986. So we combine those 2 words.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I see. Right. I did not connect those dots until now. Yeah, it's fucking 4 in the morning here, people. It can't be expected to fucking be thinking.
So that's the website, and the Facebook page will be up ongoing. But right now we're doing a Kickstarter to try to get some of our business startup costs. And what you can do is you can pre-order. So the Love Songs record is out, so you can just buy it.
There's a Kickstarter and an Indiegogo?
Sorry, a Kickstarter. The Indiegogo is a Kickstarter.
Okay.
So we have an Indiegogo
to
up,
just crowdsource one.
And all of the perks are stuff from the label, so you can pre-order some of the records.
Awesome.
We have, for the compilation, we printed 100 colored vinyl, which you can only get on that.
Oh, shit.
Test pressings.
There's one where
how much is it for the test pressing?
That's a good question.
That's sweet.
It's more than buying a record, I'll tell you that. But you can get a test pressing of the compilation itself, or you can get a test pressing of all 3 of the records I just talked about as one of the perks.
There's also one where it's a subscription to the label for the year. So like, if you get that perk, then you get every release automatically that we put out.
That's really smart. I mean, I didn't even think about that, but the Indiegogo, y'all are raising money to just like get this started. Like it's the initial startup cost. That's really what's happening. It's not.
Yeah, it's mainly to cover what we all spent for starting the label up.
And it's essentially the Indiegogo is like a pre-sale, basically.
Yeah, especially for the compilation. That's pretty much what we're using as a pre-sale. So
how many copies of the vinyl are you going to press for the compilation? Not sure yet. You don't want to release
1,000.
That information.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. You don't want to tell Joey this shit. I get it. No, why tell this guy? I fully understand that. They both were just like, don't fucking say it to him. Don't tell him. Basically, this is going to sell out quickly, probably. So people should fucking go and pre-order this shit right away.
And it's good fucking music.
I'm excited about it. This is really cool.
Yeah, it's like one of the bands, La Plebe, they've been around for 15, something like that. They recently just broke up, but like they had one of the most famously, like the one of the best live shows in the Bay Area for years. And
it's the mariachi punk band.
It's yes. But like, you know, that band is no longer, but they're forever commemorated now. And they were a huge part. They were a pillar in the Gilman community. So, you know, if you don't like ska, there's hardcore. If you don't like hardcore, there's pop punk. If you don't like pop punk, there's folk punk.
I mean, to me, I love compilations that have large genres of music, especially ones that I know care about politics. So this is like a perfect compilation for me. And I know a lot of other people who listen to this podcast, this is the kind of stuff that they really want to hear is like genre is unimportant. If the music has heart, if the music has soul, if the music has fucking aggression and is like pointed, then it's going to be music they want to listen to. And it just sounds like that's exactly what this project 1986 is doing. Like, that's exactly the kind of music that's being put out. This compilation's a flavor of that. And y'all have plans to put out a lot more new fucking bands. Like, yeah. Not the band, you know, in America, it's like all labels just want to put out shit that's only going to make them money and has no other interest other than that. And here's a label that's interested in doing justice for its community monetarily, fiscally. But its interest is also putting out bands that aren't going to be put out otherwise. That's the Lord's work right there, people. If there was a Lord, that'd be the Lord's work.
Yeah, so that's the general idea is like, you know, anything that we gain back financially goes right back out to putting out more local bands because there are so many bands that are will just fucking blow your mind with how talented they are and how much work they put in, but they don't have necessarily like the platform to get it out there.
So can I get to some bad news for a second then? So there's no way for All Torn Up to get on this label is what you're saying. Unless you're
a Gilman
band.
You guys aren't allowed. Fuck you guys.
No, I fucking fully get that. That's cool. Thanks everyone for listening. Fuck you guys. This show is not even going to fucking air. This show's not even going to air. No, but seriously, this is a Gilman band project. So bands from Gilman are coming out on this label.
So that's the original thing. I mean, one of the things that's nice that it wasn't really our plan to become a separate entity from Gilman, but one of the things that's nice about that is we're not confined to just that. So we want to, you know, the compilation is supposed to be getting Gilman bands out, and the hope would be, especially for our, you know, next year, which is kind of the first full year, that we would take some of those bands and put out their records. It's not like in our bylaws or something. Like, we can put out any band that we think is good. And you know, part of the cool thing about working at this awesome venue is we know bands from all over the country that are doing the same stuff. And the hope would be that the label could be big enough and self-sustaining enough where we can then start to choose bands from other places in the country who are friends or who are, you know, doing the work and put
them
out too.
That's awesome. I think this sounds great. I think y'all have fucking a brilliant idea here. And I think it's got a name, which is great too. That, you know, it's around Gilman, which is such a huge help. But it's not just that. It's like the future of punk being made it right now.
Yeah, like, you know, we want to put out, or for now, we just want to put out like the smaller bands that we think are absolutely incredible. And right now that happens to be Gilman bands and local bands because those are who we know.
All right. So bottom line, where do they go? How can they go right now to fucking get down?
1986.com.
1986D.com.
And if you're listening to this before I don't remember exactly when the Indiegogo, middle of December. Please go to the Indiegogo campaign, buy a record, buy a t-shirt, help us out if you can. But, you know, get us, we, fortunately, the internet, everything's linked. So you get to that website, you can get to the Facebook page, all the social media stuff, you can get to the Indiegogo.
Yeah.
So any of that stuff, but get connected and support us if you can.
And even if they fuck up and they don't listen to this podcast quickly enough, which is fucked up, you should subscribe to this podcast and make sure you get it right away. Even if they're not listening to it right away, they can go to 1986.com, 1986D.com, and they can still pre-order the records?
Pre-order or just buy.
Okay. Great. All right. Fuck yeah. Well, thanks for fucking coming over here after fucking the Choking Victim show and the four of the goddamn we're starting to wake up the fucking crowd out here and we're getting some looks that's fucking uncomfortable. So we're going to end this podcast now that they're getting up and coming at us. So.
Broadcasting live from the land before time.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Liz. Appreciate it. So good to
Thank
see you, Liz.
Thank you so much.
Get down. Let's listen to another band from Oakland that will be featured on the upcoming 1986 compilation. Here is La Plebe from Oakland. Get down. That's the end of the episode. Hope you all dug it. We're going to have a brand new episode up next Wednesday. If you did dig what we're doing over here, just continue to stay in touch with us by going to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's a ton of cool things to click on over there. Just, I think you'll be appreciative if you just go over there and spend some time meandering around, checking out what we got going on in the merch areas. I talked a little bit about it at the beginning of the show. Just, I would appreciate it. You're going to appreciate it. And in this cold, shitty, capitalist, fucking disgusting world we live in, to have everybody involved being appreciative is going to be warming. We're all going to feel a little bit warmer, and it's starting to get a little bit colder. Winter is coming, so yeah, take some time, warm up your life a little bit. Go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Everyone will be happy in the end. If you dug what Liz and Josh were talking about, make sure you go to their website. That's 1986.com. That's one, the numbers 1986 and the letter D. .com. You can fucking go buy their pre-sales. You can get down with their record label. You can make sure you can figure out how to support them any way that you can. And I'm pretty sure that there's a link to their Indiegogo campaign on there, so you can go to their website and fucking sort that out. Or you can go back in the episode and listen to it again for free, because the episodes are always fucking free, and you can figure out where that Indiegogo shit is right through that. So there's a couple of possibilities. Thank you, everybody who listens in. It really does. I fuck around and I joke around or whatever, but it really does mean a ton to me that there are so many people out there who like this culture, who like this fucking attitude, who want to get down with this shit, and that they're also conscious. They also care about what goes into their brains, and they care about getting a better, deeper perspective on things, and they care about listening to diverse voices about justice and aesthetics, and that's what we're committed to here on the show, and it warms my fucking shitty, cold, bad punk attitude to know that y'all out there listening in, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you, Liz and Josh, for breaking your fucking necks, not only to come out and visit me while I was on this tour, but also for fucking doing this label, for doing 1920, for 924 Gilman Street, for doing all the shit that you do with all the wonderful punks you do out there. So just a bunch of thank yous. I don't feel good about myself, like, listing all these thank yous off. I feel like a fucking, like, some, you know, thankful piece of shit just, like, hollering, like, I don't know, gratitude all day. It's fucking annoying. But there is so much to be thankful for in our scene and in our subculture and in the resistance and in the counterculture. And sometimes that's hard to remember because there's so much bitterness that we hold in our hearts all day. And I fucking down with that shit, too. I just want to harp about the thank yous. So thank you all very much. We'll have a new episode up for you next Wednesday and every Wednesday until I'm broke or dead or in jail and can't do this anymore. Go to dispatchingtheunderground.com and fucking sort it out. Till then, make sure you get down. All right, let's end this episode with another band that will be featured on this 1986 upcoming compilation. Here is Sarcasm from Oakland, California. Get down.